All right. Thank you, Sarah. Wonderful singing this morning. It is good to see everybody. For those that are on Zoom, I don't know, how many we have on Zoom? 12, 13? Okay, good, good. We got a good crowd here. This is obviously the vacation month, and I know we got a number of folks that are away today enjoying the good weather and stuff. I mean, it's been hard to figure out how to do vacation because there's so many places that are restrictive and stuff, and but we all need to get a change of scenery, get away from things a little bit, breathe a little bit. And so if you're traveling, we wish you the best safe to travel as you go, and when you have a wonderful time. I know that Tony and Sarah, they're going to be going on vacation at the end of the month, and so just get a chance to get away. We had a nice time away, and it's good to be back. We were back before last Sunday, but we decided to stay home and quarantine. We watched the service online, and I thought that Pastor Tony did a superb job, a wonderful message, and wonderful singing, and the praise team, the band sounded so good and everything else. It was kind of nice to be able to sit there and observe how the things look on our Zoom and everything else and our YouTube channel. So, but it is good to be back and get a little energized when you go away. You start missing some people, not all of you. We miss some of you, and but it's always good to get. She missed everybody. I missed most of you. The ones I didn't, you know who you are. So, but I did. It's always nice because when you especially during these times. It's been a whole new avenue of how to do church, and it's brought some tension and stress, obviously, to make sure we do it well. And to actually have two Sundays off, I really enjoyed that. I think I needed it, but it's good to be back. I'm looking forward to the fall season, making some plans for our midweek motivation. We are going to do our best to incorporate some actual Bible study, books of the Bible throughout the fall and winter season. So if you're interested in that, we're going to tell you more about that as we get into the late August and prepared for September. And we're hoping that we get to expand our ministry a little more. I talked to Judy a little bit about our children's ministry and how we may activate that come September, October. And one thing we're thinking about doing is we're thinking about doing alternative Zoom, which means we're thinking about offering the fact that we can have classes here socially distanced, but if parents still don't want to bring their children, there could be another Zoom feed that can be able to let the kids that are home have their own connection to that. So a lot of things we're talking about. Got a lot of work to do to provide all of that. But eventually we want to get the church going in full swing and get our ministry going in full swing again. But it's been good. I want to thank you for your faithfulness and your giving. That's been very helpful. And being part of our ministry, whether here or on Zoom, and the folks that are watching today, I hope you enjoy the message. One thing that we notice is that you can do a lot more different things while you're watching the service on Zoom. Somebody I know last Sunday did their nails, and it wasn't me. Drinking coffee and all that, just relaxing and stuff, so it's good. So we hope you enjoy, but we want to get everybody back together. I'm going to talk today about a theme I talked about on our midweek motivation, and I enjoyed the midweek motivation. This past week was great because we had a sharing time with how people came to faith and their journey in faith, and there were some wonderful discussions. I hope you join us, begin to join us on our midweek motivation. This will continue ongoing. But I talked a few weeks ago about spiritual perspective, and I really wanted to hit this more home today because I think it's important that we understand what perspective and what spiritual perspective and what insight is, what understanding is, and how we see things. And the reason why this is important is because during this last few months, during this pandemic, we have seen a lot of folks handle it differently. We've seen a country become somewhat divided, and I know it's an election year, and that probably adds to it, and we probably have not seen the divisiveness of politics more this last year than we've seen in many, many years. I long for the time where folks on all different lines and parties, even though they disagreed, learn how to treat each other with respect and honor and, you know, not throw the dirt and all that kind of stuff. We were talking about that this week, is that I really long to see statesmen and stateswomen that really will carry the mark. But we've seen all that, and everybody has a different perspective in this pandemic. And I really want to emphasize something. The way to get through any situation, pandemic, any life challenges, anything, is to hone your spiritual perspective and learn what that is. Perspective is how we see things. And everybody can see the same event and have different interpretations. So you can witness a car accident, and the police can interview five people and get five different descriptions of what exactly took place and who was blamed. In fact, they say that eyewitnesses to any event is usually the case, because eyewitness is not always the best. That's why they have the video cameras and all that there. But perspective is how we see things. And many folks go through life, and if they have the wrong perspective, they will see things, you know, in a negative way. But if folks have a spiritual perspective, and the Bible is full of stories of spiritual perspective, even though you may humanly see some a certain way, because of your spiritual insight and your spiritual eye, you will interpret what you see in a way that is life-building, that is positive, and that leads you to have a better outlook on life. And that's what we're going to talk about today. There are a lot of stories. In fact, I'm going to share some of the little tidbits and some stories in the Bible about great heroes that had a spiritual perspective, even though their situation was not the best. But there's one story I want to share some scripture in, and let me kind of set it up, because although you may know many of the stories in the Bible, I'm going to read a passage of scripture about what the interpretation of what people saw was, but I want to kind of set it up. In the Old Testament, which is the history book of Israel, Israel many times ended up in captivity, either by the Babylonians, the Persians, whatever it may be, because usually of their disobedience to God, or I will say this, because their raw perspective of things led them to lack in faith, lack in trust to God. And a time came to where they were in captivity in Egypt. And everybody probably knows the character in the story, Moses, the great heroes of the faith. And they were in captivity in Egypt for 400 years. And there was always this promise that there would be someone that would come and rescue them from the powers of Egypt. And they waited and they waited and they waited, and they murmured and they complained. And eventually God sent them someone to rescue them. And we all know the story of Moses and how that he was born of a Hebrew mother, but he was hidden, and he was raised in an Egyptian family, one that has great power in Egypt. And it came to a certain point in life where it was revealed that he was an Egyptian, that he was Hebrew, and he was cast out of Egypt, and he was thrown in the backside of the desert. And for 40 years, he wandered around there and didn't know what his purpose was in life. And then God came to him. You remember the story of the burning bush, to give him the information. It's time for him to go back and to rescue and to bring the children of Israel out of Egypt. And then we know the great story how he went there and he talked to Pharaoh, and he told Pharaoh, "You got to let my people go." And they had the plagues, they had the river turned to blood, they had the locusts, they had the frogs, they had all those things. And it came down to the death of the firstborn of the Egyptians, and that was the straw that broke the Egyptians back, as they would say, and they let the people go. And here's the thing about it is you would think the people, as they were leaving, and I've seen movies that portray this, the Ten Commandments, the movie in the 70s, great portrayal of this. They were excited. They were joyful. There was like 600 men plus women and children, probably 1.5 million people leaving the bondage of Egypt. And they were going to go to a place that in scripture had been promised to them. It's a land described as a land with milk and honey, which means it was a land of prosperous things. It was a land that fertile ground. It was a land in which God had promised them that they would have for themselves. And as we know today, that land is known as the nation of the state of Israel. And so when they left Egypt, the path to go to this promised land that was promised to them wasn't that long of a time. They would travel to this place, and then they would go in and they would observe what was happening there. And the plan was originally is that they basically would be able to go from Egypt's bondage, that in a matter of a short time, a few months, they would be entering into their promised land to be able to enjoy what God has given them. But the plan got disrupted because of a misguided perception. And because of the misguided perception, They ended up wandering in the wilderness for 40 years because they had the misguided perception. They did not have the spiritual perception. When I got to the land originally, we find that Moses, who was in charge, and Aaron was assisting him. They decided that before they went in, so they would know what they are doing, so they would know what they're dealing with, is that Moses decided to take one individual, a leader, from each tribe. There were 12 tribes, the Sinemen. They called them spies. And so these 12 individuals would go into the promised land, as they called the nation of Israel, and they were to scout out what the inhabitants are all about. What's the best method for moving their people in? What the land has to offer? Where's the place, best place to set up camp and to build their nation of people in their promised land? And they sent these guys in there, all 12 of them, and they said, take 40 days and evaluate exactly what we're heading into. And so they sent these 40 guys in there, or these 12 guys in there for 40 days, and then they came out and gave their report. And this is where the misguided perspective got them in trouble. I want to read in Numbers chapter number 13 through verse 25 and 33 in the New Living Translation, one I chose for this. I like the way it reads. And this is the report that came back from the 12 individuals that were assigned to go in and to spy out the land and prepare for the nation of Israel to go into their place to inhabit forever and ever. And this is what happens. It says here, after exploring the land for 40 days, the men return to Moses and Aaron and the whole company of Israel at Kadesh in the wilderness of Paran. They reported to the whole community what they had seen and showed them the fruit they had taken from the land. This was the report to Moses. We entered the land you sent us to explore, and it is indeed a bountiful country, a land flowing with milk and honey. Here is the kind of fruit it produced, and they had brought back some fruit to show them what was there. But the people living there, this is part of the report, the people living there are powerful, and their towns are large and fortified. And we even saw giants there, the descendants of Anak. The Amalekites live in Negev, and the Hittites and Jebusites and Amorites live in the hill country. And the Canaanites live along the coast of the Mediterranean Sea and along the Jordan Valley. Now, before I go any further here, what's happening here is that they're coming back. They're giving the report to Moses, to Aaron, and he calls the whole company and the community to come listen. And he said, let me tell you, we got there, and it's exactly what we knew it was going to be. It's a land that is flourishing with potential. It's a land that flows in milk and honey. It's a land that has fruit and has all the things you need to sustain life. But then they begin to talk about other observations. And here's what I want you to get. They talk about different individual groups that have set up camp there during the times that they had been waiting the 400 years to go to the promised land. And they said, you got the Canaanites over here, and you got the Jebusites over here, and the Amorites over here, and they're giant people, and they're 4 to 5 cities. And so all of a sudden, they changed their direction. And it came down to the one word in verse number 28. It says the word is but. That's where perspectives sometimes take a turn. You and I face a challenge. When you and I face something that we have to work through, many times our spiritual side will say to us, "It's God has an answer. There's a victory on the other side of the hill. God has done this before." And then many times we do in our own self-thinking, we put that word, but the obstacles are tough. And that's when we get in trouble. And that's when we lose out in God's best for our life because of the word but. We know what God has promised. In fact, God had promised these people this land. That was theirs for the taking. They were not sent in to decide whether they should go in. Moses has sent them under God's direction to go in to evaluate so they would be best prepared as they move forward. But when these spies came back, they said, it's all the things we heard about, but there are so many obstacles. And the word but got them in trouble. Then the next person comes up here, Caleb, and it says, verse 30, but Caleb tried to quiet the people as they stood before Moses. Let us go at once and take the land, he said. We can certainly conquer it. But the other men who had explored the land with him disagreed. We can't go up against them. They are stronger than we are. So they spread this bad report about the land among the Israelites. The land was traveled through and explored, will devour anyone who goes there to live there. All the people we saw are huge. We even saw giants there, the descendants of Anak. Next to them, we felt like grasshoppers, and that's what they thought too. But what bothers me here about this is you got 12 individuals that went into the same vicinity. 12 individuals on a mission to be able to prepare them to go into the promised land. 10 of them come back, and they have the right idea. This is a great land, fruitful. We can live there. We can farm the land. We can sustain life. We can grow our nation there. And then 2 individuals, not mentioned here, but Joshua is the other one, says, yes, it's a great place. Where the 10 of them said, it's too many obstacles. Caleb and Joshua said, listen, there are obstacles, but we can conquer. We can go. Now, here's what happened, though, too. When the folks that had the negative perspective, you notice what it said in the scripture? They begin to spread it throughout the people. You know what happens when people are negative? When people basically, you know, see things, the glass is half full, things aren't going to work out, it's never going to accomplish anything else, they begin to take other people with them because of their perspective. Caleb and Joshua were now at odds with 10 other people. And you know what happens usually times is people always say, well, I would go along with the 10 because, you know, that's 10 opinions compared to 2. And so many times that's the wrong way to do it. They all saw the same thing, but they came back with different perspectives. And that's how we all do things. When we face our own giants, we face our own challenges, we face our own things, we face this pandemic as we've gone through the last 5 or 6 months here, and we've all dealt with you know, what's going to happen? How is the church going to thrive? How is my work going to go? I'm going to tell you right now is that some perspective is this has killed us off. America is crushed. We're never going to revive from this. And then there's the other perspective that we're going to learn more from this. We're going to accomplish more from this. In fact, my perspective has been through this. You know, at first, I didn't know what we were going to think about all this. But my perspective after 6 months of the pandemic is simply this. We have learned things that we can do better because of this situation. We can take the ministry further than we could 6 months ago because we've learned ways to do it, whether it's through the Zoom, the YouTube channel, whatever it might be. We've had midweek motivation. We have actually communicated more, and we have actually probably touched more lives during the last 5 or 6 months than we did the last 6 months of last year because we have had to reinvent some things. So a perspective can be, as you know, I said before, some say the perspective was the last few months the church was closed. The church never closed. We just found different delivery system, as I talked about a couple weeks ago. And I truly believe, although we don't wish this pandemic on anybody, and there have been some people that have been tremendously sick, and we've lost some precious people in our country and even our community, my personal feeling is that as a spiritual perspective, I'm asking God, what can we learn from this to be able to improve our walk, our methods, our outreach, to advance the cause that we have here as a church? See, it all comes down to perspective. These folks went in there, and some says, we can't go. They told Moses and the people, listen, we need to stop right now, and we need to go no further than the river we're at, the River Jordan. Caleb and Joshua says, that's not the way to go about it. If you read the next chapter, okay, let me just fill you in what happens next. If you read the next chapter, is that these 10 individuals begin to sow discord. They begin to spread rumors about Caleb and Joshua. They begin to diminish the leadership of Moses and Aaron. In fact, the Bible tells us in the next chapter in the book of Numbers, chapter 14, is they thought about stoning Moses and Aaron. They thought about stoning Caleb and Joshua. And they became this miserable crowd of people simply because somebody spread a bad perspective of what could take place. Later on in chapter 14, it says this, God disciplined them for this. God wasn't with the 10 people that had the wrong perspective. God was with the 2 that had the spiritual perspective. They knew God already promised this land to them. It's called the Promised Land. They knew that God had already promised to give them this land. It was there for the taking. And because the children of Israel did not listen to the two individuals that had a spiritual perspective, the Bible tells us that for every day they sent the spies into the promised land, 40 days, for every day it would be a year in which they would wander in the wilderness, 40 years in the wilderness. That's where you get the number 40 years in the wilderness. All because they didn't see things through the lens that God had given them. It's important for all of us, by the way, whatever our obstacles, whatever our challenges, whatever relationship situation comes forth, whatever financial situation comes forth, whatever goes on in our life is a stop, especially as those that have faith in God, that call themselves Christians, have a spiritual outlook, to stop and say, what is the spiritual insight, perspective I should have? Because it's easy to have a perspective that everything is caving in. It's easy to have an insight and a viewpoint and a point of view that this will never work out. Whether it's relationship, whether it's education, whatever you may be going through in your life, it's easy to say, I just don't see the light at the end of the tunnel. But in all reality, God wants us as Christian people to have a spiritual perspective. And in all situations, like Paul said in the New Testament, in all situations, I've learned how to be content. And contentment doesn't come because we see all the answers. Contentment comes because we know God is still in charge. God's still on the throne. God has not abandoned America. Right now, America, in my mind, is in a very crucial time. The political temperature has gotten meaner and meaner. The division upon Americans has gotten worse and worse. And I can see people getting to the point of saying, I see no hope for our nation, our country. And I'm here to tell you now, I have not lost confidence in what God can do to heal this nation, to bring us back in unison, to heal the racial difficulties we have. I have no doubt that God can do away with this pandemic, to find a cure for this pandemic. I have no doubt that God is still in charge. What concerns me, if a nation loses faith in the spiritual perspective, just like when they didn't have the spiritual perspective, they had to wander for 40 years. I wonder that if we don't tell God as a nation that we trust you, that you will supply the needs that we have and get us through this, I wonder how long God will let us flow through the wilderness of despair in this country. See, the Bible says that if my people will pray and call upon me, I will heal the land. If we truly have faith, I truly believe that's where the restitution, reconciliation, and healing comes from. But I believe that if this nation is a nation in which is going to continue to say, I have no faith in God, we're falling apart, I wonder how long God will let us wander in the wilderness of what we're going through. In fact, the Bible teaches all through the scripture that a prayer of faith is what heals a body. If this nation, the people, lack faith, I wonder how long we're going through the wilderness. During this pandemic, Christian people have come through with flying colors, and they've come through stronger. They've come through saying God's got great things for us. We've learned new things. But there are people that are Christians that let this get to them, and they lost their faith. They lost their trust. They begin to see things as if they're falling apart, and they're lacking the joy that God wants them to have because they had the wrong perspective. And I truly believe that we're humans and we're going to have our perspective, how we see things, but I want to encourage us to have a spiritual perspective. Let me give you some things that I wrote down here about spiritual perspective. Spiritual perspective has a working understanding of how God has worked in the past. The emphasis I want to put here, if you really want to have hope during this time, begin to read the stories in the scriptures of how God came through in people's lives. And I will share some in a few minutes here. Rehearse in your mind what God has done for you before. Rehearse in your mind how you've seen people healed and lives changed and people reunited and relationships healed. Rehearse in your mind a working understanding of what God has done in the past. Second of all, spiritual perspective sees obstacles as an opportunity for God to reveal himself. I truly believe that during the last few months, we have seen God take an opportunity to reveal himself in great ways. I really believe that our church, the song that they played as our intro, the last 5 minutes, countdown clock, we were here to thrive, not survive. I actually believe Cornerstone and the other churches have thrived during this time, not just survived. Yeah, we couldn't do everything together. For a number of months, we were separated. We didn't have the band practice. We didn't have the praise team practice. And all those things. And somebody could have said, listen, you know, it's not going to work out. I've actually seen God reveal some things during this time. Next one, spreads hope, not despair, within the people you influence. Spiritual perspective, it spreads hope, not despair, with the people of influence. When you have here's how you can tell somebody has a spiritual perspective. And let's target Christian leaders. A Christian leader that has a spiritual perspective will have been encouraging and talking about the great things that are coming and how that we're going to explode and thrive and move forward. But a Christian leader who does not have a spiritual perspective, they have their own perspective because they're letting things cloud their mind. They see things as negative, we're diminishing, we've gone backwards. But spiritual perspective, it spreads hope, not despair. And then also it focuses on the positive, not the negative. I'm not always a positive guy. I get negative sometimes. People know me. There are times in which I wallow in things or whatever. We all do that or whatever. But I think on the big issues of life, when we're dealing with, you know, our church, our ministry, what God's doing and stuff, I focus on the positive. Let me just say this, okay? There have been some great positive things that have come out of this. And don't get me wrong. Somebody's go out there and say, well, Pastor Stokes said the pandemic's been a good thing. It's not been a good thing. But we have had more people involved in creating our ministry's ability to reach out through technology. We've had some individuals that have been with us that basically have taught us a little bit about how to set the cameras and stuff. And these are folks that probably 6 months ago, they weren't even going to think about investing some of their time into a church ministry. But God has given them the wisdom and understanding of what to do. And they've been free with their desire to help a church do some things. And we appreciate that. We've had young people back here that have skilled themselves to run the PowerPoints and to do the Zoom and to do these things there. I mean, to me, as I look at some of our young people, I think of Ari and I think of other folks involved. The last 6 months, they have grown into ministry because we had a need. And here's the thing, too. And because we really couldn't include everybody in the building, and so sometimes it had to be family. And so we have young people, other folks getting involved in learning how to do things here. To me, I really think there's been some positive things take place. There are some people that checked us out as a church, and then we closed the doors here. We didn't close the church. We closed the doors here. We went on Zoom, and they begin, and they're probably on Zoom today, and they're taking care of their family, making sure they're in a healthy situation. Everybody has to take this the way they feel God wants them to. But they've enjoyed the ministry, and we got more connected with them because we've seen them on Zoom. The midweek motivation was something we did because we want to stay connected, and now it's become part of our lifeblood to have discussions and encouragements, and I hope it grows in the fall season where more folks are on Zoom as we go forward with Bible studies. I see a lot of positive things because the spiritual perspective is that God, all he did is shift us to a new direction. Now, let me give you a real quick here, and this isn't in the PowerPoint. I put these on last night and this morning as I was preparing. I love heroes of the faith. You know, I'd never done really a study on the attributes of Judas. You know what I'm saying? I really never been somebody who studies the doubting Thomas. But I think about the great characters of Scripture, and I want to share some with you. Abraham, the father of the nation of Israel, he was told to take his son and to prepare to sacrifice his son, showing allegiance to God. So he gathers his son, he gathers the wood, he ties his son's hand, and the son says, Dad, where is the lamb? He says, God will supply the lamb. And right before he was to take his son, God stopped him and said, And there was a lamb in the thickets they brought over to sacrifice. But he trusted God. And the Bible says it was counted to him for righteousness because of his faith. Joseph, you all know the story of Joseph. Joseph was sold by his brothers into the Egyptian world. He was left and told, they told his father that he had been killed. And Joseph went through his time from being in prison to being falsely accused of sexual immorality. He was went all these things. And at the end of the story, when his brothers come to him, instead of being bitter because of what took place, because instead of being bitter that his brothers sold him into slavery, he says to them, what you thought was for evil, God meant for good. That's a spiritual perspective. Another one, David and Goliath. Great story here. David comes up there to visit his family that are fighting the battles with the Philistines. And every day this giant come out there with his swords, and he'd be mocking God and mocking Israel, mocking everybody out there. And every day he would call out, is there anybody in the nation of Israel that's got the courage to come and take me on? And David, when he got there, and David was described as a ruddy individual, which means he was short and he was fair complexion. He didn't look tough at all. Many believe that he had a feminine look in a sense. And he went up to the giant and he says, listen, I'm going to take you on. And we all know the story, how that he had the stones. He threw the stones and the stone hit the giants and killed the giants. And so many people had the perspective that the giant's too big to take on. But David's perspective was the giant's too big to miss. Spiritual perspective. Another perspective is Daniel in the lion's den. Daniel was, there was an edict throughout the Babylonian Empire, and Nebuchadnezzar said that no one shall pray except they pray to me. And Daniel got caught carrying forth his faith by praying every day the same way he did. And they put him in the lion's den thinking that he would be torn up, but he continued to pray, and as they looked in, Daniel was left alone by the lions. All because of his spiritual perspective. Peter, I love the book of Acts. You have Peter's and you have James. You have all the different leaders that came out of the apostleship except mainly for Judas. And they were out there preaching the faith. Peter, on the second chapter of the book of Acts, gives this awesome message. He kind of condemns the whole nation of Israel for crucifying Jesus. And he's put in prison. Just like Paul later on was put in prison. And the Bible records that these guys, in some instances, that they were in prison and they were singing hymns. And when an earthquake came and they had a chance to escape, they stayed. And because of that, they had the jailer that was actually one to Christ. They sang songs while they were in prison. The Apostle Paul was on a ship going to Rome. And a storm came, and he told the individuals there, don't be afraid. God has purpose for me to get to Rome. You shall not perish. I did not perish. All these come down to a spiritual perspective. You know why they're heroes of the faith? It's not because they were insulated from troubles. It's not because they were insulated from rumors or from critics or from financial difficulties or from illnesses. It's because that in the face of their life, they basically, we all have our human perspective, but they were so connected to God is that everything was about the spiritual perspective. Christians get strengthened in faith when they look things through the lens of how God sees things. So a pandemic should not stop your faith, should not make you waver, should not make you disappointed, should not make you discouraged. And I understand the human aspects of that. Don't get me wrong. I understand that. But as a Christian person, and if you're a Christian leader in a church, ministry, or whatever, you ought to be saying, God, what are you teaching us? And what is going to thrive because of this? And that spiritual perspective. We talked about a few weeks ago in our midweek motivation. I just really wanted to hit home on this because to me, folks, as we get ready to end the summer, part of this is thinking we're going to go in the fall season. And we're going to have to begin to advance and move our church forward. I mean, we've done things now. We're following some of the directions from the state. We're being very courteous. We're going to offer Zoom ongoing, the YouTube. And I really appreciate every individual, those that are new with us, those who have been with us for years, that are working together to bring this church live. And there's so many things that we're going to do better as we go forward, but we're going to have to begin to advance and move things forward. We're going to have to begin to minister to our children, just like they're going back to school, and every parent has to decide how they go back, whether it's virtual or in person and all that. And there's going to be some drawbacks, and there'll probably be some, you know, some breakout of the epidemic or whatever. All this is testing going forward, and be careful with all of our leaders in the country and in the state and stuff. This is all, you know, trial and error. And give grace where we need to give grace, but we need to be moving forward, and we need to have the structure that says this in our mind, in our church, is that we're going to have things through a spiritual eye. What can we do with the next phase to be able to minister to our children, to our teens, to our families? How can we use Zoom to even do more connection with our community and with people? How can we take everything we've learned and be better? That's spiritual perspective. Let me give you the walk away this morning. And the walk away is simply this. Your perspective is based upon what you see. Spiritual perspective is based upon where you see things from. Your spiritual point of view. Your perspective is based upon what you see. But your spiritual perspective is based upon where you see things from. Do you see things from the lens that God has not lost control? He has not ran away. He has not lost interest. He has not turned his back on the church. I think God, what he's doing now, I think God is actually separating the doers and the donors. Best way I can say it. I think God's going to strengthen churches because he's going to take those who stayed by the faith and says, we can accomplish. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. We are more than conquerors. See? It's perspective. I want to say one last thing. Every time Paul makes one of those statements, we are more than conquerors, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, all those things, usually he made those statements in the midst of adversity. When you're going through adversity, do you say stuff like that? Or do you say, oh me, this is all going to fall apart? Or do you say in the middle of the battle, whatever it might be, you're saying, I got this. God's got this. Let's move forward. That's spiritual perspective. And through this pandemic, there's been a lot of folks that have lost their spiritual perspective. I want to encourage you, especially as leaders in our church, we have some great days coming. God's going to do more things than he's done before. We have more avenue now is to reach out to our community. I don't know how I look on TV, but this is where we're going. And to everybody, whether you've been part of our church from the beginning, or whether you came a part of it, maybe you're somebody who's given your time, that you're not really connected to the church, but you want to offer your service. We've had some that have done that have actually come in here and helped us stuff. I want to say thank you. Because God's going to bless you for that. Because God's going to use what you've done to impact people's lives. And that's a positive thing. Would you bow your heads for just a moment? We're so blessed by so many good people. And the heartbreak you have as a pastor is when you see during these times, people that don't make it to the other side. You know what's sad about the story that I read in the book of Numbers? Those 10 that gave the bad report, they had the wrong perspective. God told them that you and your families are going to wander for 40 years until your entire families die off. He basically said, you will not get to experience the promised land. The reason why they wandered around, because God was going to allow by natural causes for those folks that doubted, all the folks that followed those folks that were doubting, he wanted to make sure they were off the scene because they were not going to enjoy the blessings of the promised land because they wavered. And the only ones that made it to the promised land, even Moses didn't make it in because there was one time that he did something in doubt. Joshua and Caleb is the only ones that made it into the promised land. There's a virtual promised land. There's a metaphorical promised land. There's a better day ahead for all of us here. And God is testing our faith and our spiritual perspective to truly see, will I cross that Jordan River, if you want to put it that way, into my promised land where God has had blessing after blessing prepared for me? Or will I be the doubter, the waver, and say we can't? That's what this story is about. Will you wander in your wilderness for a certain amount of time because when it came time to have the right perspective of what can be done, you wavered? I want to encourage everybody here. We don't know what the days ahead are going to feel like. We don't know if there's going to be an outbreak once cold weather comes again. We don't know, but I will tell you this. We will be ready for it. And we will find even more ways to advance this ministry and what we do. And all of us together will impact our community. Because spiritual perspective always wins. Father, we thank you so much for this time together, Lord. I thought about this subject for the last couple weeks on vacation. And God, especially as I've seen so much division in our country, people's perspective of things, and I also seen Christian people that have just lost hope. That and I know there's discouragement, there's depression out there, and I pray for those folks there, Lord. But God, I really believe that you're going to raise us up even better, Lord. And the ones that are going to go through to the promised land, metaphorically speaking, are the ones who basically said, yeah, there are obstacles going forward, but the fruit is worth going over those obstacles. Strengthen us, strengthen our leaders. God, we need leaders in this church, Lord, that are going to be people of faith and drive and passion. I'm going to say not so much how did this affect us. We're going to say how much did we learn from this to make us better. God, I thank you for every person that gives their time and volunteers. I pray for those folks on our vacation right now, Lord, that they have a wonderful time. We all need a break. But God, bring us back here, especially during the fall season, to really strengthen our numbers, our people together, and to impact the lives of our community. We ask in Christ's name. Amen.